There's an S on my screen. That's how I got it wrong. So
turn that S into an A, and we got her.
All right. Well, a lot of people use A's to describe me. Mike, let me throw this at you. Let's get the preliminaries out of the way. Do you have an office title? Are you on the board with RCAF, or what's your role there?
No, with RCAF, I'm a member.
Okay.
I am a member of the Independent Beef Association of North Dakota. We are an affiliate of RCAF USA.
Okay.
And as IBAND, I'm on the board, and I'm the immediate past president.
Describe to people what RCAF is.
It's an organization that represents the livestock industry. You know, we're trying to keep fair trade practices, profitability in our industry. And like with country of origin labeling, all we're trying to do is differentiate our product. That's the best way there is to advertise. You have to differentiate.
Yeah.
And I think that when you go way back to the beginning of this, clear up till now, we have had lots of consumer groups involved in the rulemaking process. They went with us when we went to Tom Daschle to get this made into law in 2002. Now that it's been run through the WTO and it's in the courts again now, the consumer groups are still with the producers on this.
Well, let me throw this at you, because I had some association with RCAF in my legislative days, and I appreciated having a group come out that was so passionate about their product. I have always stood for country of origin labeling. Because of that, you want to differentiate your product. I want to buy your beef. If I know it's your beef, I'm more apt to buy it than if I see that it's labeled from Mexico or somewhere else. I feel more confident in the product. Isn't that just flat out good for this country? How can you be against that, Mike?
Well, as producers, the vast majority of us aren't against it, and the consumers aren't against it. It's the packing industry who's against it. And that's who the NCBA is representing when they come out and tell you that they're in opposition to it. And anybody that's an affiliate with them is on the wrong side of this issue when they say they're representing the livestock industry. It's the packing industry who will gain to benefit by keeping it a secret as to whose meat is whose.
Well, but it begs this question. One of the leading groups in North Dakota is still the North Dakota Stockmen's Association. And these are good people. They're your neighbors and friends as well as my neighbors and friends. And yet they don't find the value of country of origin labeling. Why the separation here between the groups?
I can't tell you why they follow the NCBA like they do. I really can't. The NCBA, in my opinion, is corrupt. They have misused our checkoff dollars. They're advertising, lobbying against us at all times with our own money. I'm getting a little tired of financing my own demise with that group pretending to be representation of the livestock industry.
I was reading through where the federal government is, where this administration is with country of origin labeling. And as I read through, you know, what is being presented and debated right now, it looks nothing like country of origin labeling as I originally knew it. In other words, I think this administration has watered it down. And I want to see if you have the same opinion as I have on that.
Well, like I said, we got it passed into law in 2002. The rules were... It got hijacked in the rulemaking process, and the rules were such that we had labels coming out that said product of North America. Well, how disingenuous can that be? The only product that could come from more than one country is ground beef. No muscle cut can even come from more than one animal, let alone two countries. Then we had to prove ourselves in the court of the WTO, because Canada and Mexico object. As of May of last year, the USDA came out with a new set of rules that made us compliant with the WTO so that we can go ahead and start labeling our beef. Now we're back in the court. Canada, Mexico, I can't remember. There's 8 different groups, but the NCBA is right in there with them, suing us so that we can't label our meat.
Is it? And this is where there becomes a fine line, because you pay checkoff dollars to a group that is basically suing your interests. So what's your recourse there? Do you have to bring suit? Because my remembrance of checkoff dollars is it can't be used for so-called political purposes like that. You know, it's meant to promote a product. It's not meant to fight legal battles over political issues. Unless I'm wrong about that. I'm trying to figure out why. Then why in the world haven't you? Why hasn't RCAF sued him?
I can't get into that, but I believe the way they get by with it is they are the primary contractor of the checkoff, and so they are given implementation fees to a tune of about $10 million a year. And it's my understanding that once that money is given to them for implementation fees, that's their money. And there they can circumvent it into lobbying money.
Are you a member of the North Dakota Stockmen's Association as well?
No.
Okay.
I was for about 20 years, and I quit them because of their policy. I was contacted to renew my membership, and I told them as long as they were affiliated with the NCBA, it was never going to happen.
Well, and I want to be clear about this. This isn't an R or a D issue. That's fair to say, Mike. I mean, if I'm talking to who I think I'm talking to, you and my politics aren't necessarily the same. Is that fair to say?
you got to take.
Right, exactly.
Although I'll admit, I voted for your sister for U.S. Senate, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, and I'm not sorry I did.
Well, good.
The last time I talked to her, about 2 months ago, I thanked her for supporting country of origin labeling and staying in there on the fight, and she assured me that she hadn't wavered one bit, that she's still with us and she intends to stay there.
Well, and that's how politics should work. It should go beyond whatever that letter is behind your name. It should go to the issues that affect you. But my point is this, that when people think Stockman or they think RCAF, they can't label any of these groups, I don't believe, to a political party necessarily. They got to look at the policies that they support. I want to point out as well, we did call the North Dakota Stockmen's Association today and invite them on. And they have, it's not like they're ducking us. They'll come on with us next week. It's just, you know, this story is playing out in today's news cycle. And so that's why we wanted to be able to talk about it today. If you're a rancher out there, if you're a beef producer, Mike, what's your advice to them about country of origin labeling right now?
We need to support it.
And what would you tell them to do?
It's good for our industry, and our industry is a huge industry. In dollars and cents, we are a big part of the economy in this country. And the consumers want to know. They have a right to know. You know, I know where my T-shirt comes from, and I'm supposed to guess where my food comes from.
Okay. Well, all right. Mike, I want to thank you for coming on. I appreciate you taking the time, okay?
You're welcome.
Okay.
Glad to have you call me.
Yeah. Mike Heaton, ladies and gentlemen, a supporter of RCAF, and he wants country of origin labeling. This is a passionate issue amongst those that produce beef. I want to get Mike on. He's been waiting on hold for quite some time. Mike, you're on News and Views.
Good morning, Joel.
Morning to you.
The last Mikey at the end, he made a good comment. He said, you know where your T-shirt comes from, but you got to guess where your beef comes from. And there's big companies like Monsanto that put millions of dollars into these fights about labeling. Their big fight is GMO. But as far as beef and pork and chicken, we have the right to know where it comes from and what it's been fed and how it's been handled. You know, I drive truck for a living. And I picked up sunflowers up in Winkler, Canada. I asked the guy where the sunflowers come from because I don't see that many sunflowers in Canada. Well, most of them are grown in North Dakota, he said. I said, well, then why does the package say product of Canada? He said, because according to the government, once it crosses the border, it's contaminated. We clean it and repackage it, and now it's a product of Canada. Well, how does anybody really know that that label is what it says it is.
Yeah. I don't know how I argue with that. I mean, obviously, you know, I agree with you on that, Mike. I appreciate the call. Jason Zahn, with the president of the North Dakota Stockmen's Association, has called in. Jason, you hang with me. I know you're in a bad reception area, but we are going to get the president of the North Dakota Stockmen's Association on.
I can hear you, Joel.
Okay. President of the North Dakota Stockmen's Association, not in favor of country of origin labeling. Jason, can you tell me why?
Well, Joel, our position is we're in favor of labeling, but we don't think it should be a government mandate. We've seen several different groups go and do like a branded product. You take Certified Angus Beef, for example. They thought they had a supreme product. They went out and differentiated on themselves. It didn't cost other producers any money. It did not irritate our number two and three trading partners, Canada and Mexico. It was something that was done on their own. We have nothing wrong with labeling, but I don't think it should be a government mandate and cost producers dollars.
Do you feel that your product will do better in the marketplace if it's labeled, made right here in America versus, or in the United States of America versus made in Mexico or Canada?
I believe that if you ask the consumer going into the grocery store if they want to know where their product is, I believe, yes, 90% of them or 80% of them want to know where the product comes from. But after they go into the store, I don't believe that there's 80, 90% that are willing to pay for it.
But, Jason, if you have somebody then who is packaging that product and they're not required by law to put that label on there, what enticement is there for them to not buy that product or not do that, knowing it would sell better?
Well, okay, so if the people that do believe that their product would sell better labeled product to the USA, why couldn't they brand it their own selves? I mean, we've seen that in many different branded products. A lot of the breed associations have a branded product. To have the government mandate it and you got to realize Canada and Mexico are some pretty important trading partners. We're talking $2 billion that they could retaliate. And they're not going to hit they're going to hit what costs ranchers the most. I mean, they can hit the feed grains, they can hit the tractors and all that.
Okay. But my answer to your question would be because the packers are the ones that are going to have to do this, and they're not going to do it unless they're required to do it, right?
Correct. Currently, we come back with the rule they had to, and what they did is they just said product to U.S., Canada, and Mexico, and that didn't meet USDA, so that's why we come back with this rule now.
Are you, and one of the things that the folks from RCAF are saying, and others are saying, is that the checkoff dollars for the beef checkoff shouldn't be used to argue this country of origin labeling. Are you comfortable, Jason, with using those checkoff dollars to be used to lobby or to make an argument against country of origin labeling?
Well, that's where I have a difference of opinion, Joel, and I don't think our checkoff dollars are being used to lobby for country of origin labeling.
Oh, to lobby against it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't believe that North Dakota beef checkoff dollars are used wrong, let's say, for political purpose to argue against country of origin labeling?
Absolutely not. I did not believe that. Joel, for someone to get on the air and call the Stockmen's corrupt, we may have a difference of opinion, but Joel, you've dealt with the Stockmen's enough years that you know we're not corrupt.
No, I don't think he called the Stockmen's corrupt. He called some of the groups that are doing this that the Stockmen may associate with. He struggled with is how I took it, Jason. But I want to be clear. I don't believe that. I mean, the Stockmen's in my relations with them has been nothing but positive. So
one thing I'd like to just comment, Joel. So if we get this country of origin labeling the way it's written, there's a lot of loopholes, and I'll just cover one of them. So if we have meat from Canada, a live animal from Canada comes to North Dakota for 2 weeks, guess where that animal, when it's slaughtered, is labeled? It's a product born, raised, and slaughtered in the U.S. So 2 weeks. You can get an animal from Canada, bring it into North Dakota for 2 weeks, and all of a sudden, now that is a product of U.S.
Okay. Jason, this we got to do more on this another day. Thank you. Thanks for taking the time today.
I was in a bad area.
So. No, we had you good. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate you coming on. Your thoughts on a country of origin labeling?
Well, my question is what are they afraid of? You know what I think it is? They're making so much money exporting our good American beef to other countries that want it. They sell it at a premium, and then they bring in this foreign beef because they can get it for cheaper. And the quality isn't as good, and they pass it on to the American people, and that makes a profit that way. And the point is that if it was labeled as such, people wouldn't buy it, and that would upset their whole house of cards. All I can say is I'm glad I buy my beef locally from my cousin, because I tell you what, everybody should be doing that. There's plenty of farmers out there more than willing to sell good beef.
And that's how I've always bought mine too, Jim, other than what Sue, you know, if she picks up a quick roast or something in the store. But I want to see on that beef package. I want to see, you know, that this came right here from the good old US of A. That matters
They're
to me.
Right.
I don't think
They're
that.
Right. There's no way I'd eat a piece of meat from Mexico. Not in a lifetime.
All right. Thank you, Jim. I think you and I are on the same page on this one. Kenny Grainer is with the Independent Beef Producers, and we have him on hold. And he was on when we got Senator Hoban on, and we bumped him once already. So for all you folks waiting on hold, I'm just going to warn you, Kenny Grainer gets to bump at the line and come to the top of it when we come back. I want to hear from the Independent Beef Producers. I know in advance that it's not because we don't respect his opinion. It's all about timing. Kenny Grainer, with the Independent Beef Producers, joins us now. Kenny, good to have you on News and Views.
Yeah, thank you, Joel.
Yeah, glad to get you on and give us your take from the Independent Beef Producers on this. Are you for or against Cool?
We are for Cool. We've been supporting Cool for the past 12 years, and we never, ever thought that it would take this amount of time to put forth a common-sense marketing tool.
We heard some strong words from a supporter of RCAF earlier today about dollars being used, checkoff dollars being used to fight the advancement of Cool. Where do the independent beef producers sit on this?
Well, you know, we're not saying that they're using checkoff dollars because, you know, under the acting order, they cannot. But what is happening is, of course, they do receive these implementation fees, you know, as they contract. But again, you know, I'm not saying anything's being done wrong here. But that's the perception from producers out there, that they see them as being the major contractor, and they think that somehow our checkoff dollars may be being used. But I'm not saying that.
So all the messages that are coming in from me, from the general public, people that don't get out there calfing in the spring and do the type of things that you do, they want to know where their beef is from. They don't want Mexican beef. They don't look at it as the same way that they do as beef grown right here in the U.S. of A. Why is this such a hard sell?
I think, you know, we have these multinational meat packers that are constantly using imported beef to blend with our beef. And it's profit. It's all about profit. But here's the deal with country of origin. It is a common sense approach to preserve our space on the meat shelf. As we all know, our cattle numbers have been declining in the United States. And as our numbers decline, it's imperative that we claim our space on that meat shelf. If we want to increase production of our beef in this country, we need to provide that space, because when we fall in production, more imports will come in. So this is just a common sense marketing tool to preserve our place on the meat shelf.
I guess I have to wonder, and Kenny, you know that I'm in favor of country of origin labeling. I think it is a good marketing tool, number one. Number two, I'm just not looking at it in the perspective of you as somebody who raises beef. I'm looking at it as me as a consumer. I mean, many people have called in and said, you know, Joel, I don't buy my beef this way anymore. I don't go to the grocery store. Well, not everybody can go out and buy a quarter of beef like I do. Or in the old days when I had kids all running around the house, I used to buy a half of beef. Kenny, for those people who might just go to the store to buy their beef, This truly tells them what they're buying.
Yes, you're exactly right. And country of origin will not affect any of these niche markets, like for yourself, buying a beef from a neighbor or whatever. It only enhances our products produced in this country, even CAB program. This is only going to enhance our product. And the consumer deserves the right to know, and it's the honest thing to do.
Okay. So where do you take it from here as an independent beef producer and somebody who's with the Independent Beef Producers Association? Where do you go from here in this fight?
We're on the phone constantly with Senator Hoeven, and my hat's off to the senator and your sister Heitkamp. They have proven true leaders on cool. You know, we're fighting every day. We're making phone calls. We're writing letters. Again, this is a marketing 101 common sense approach.
Okay. Kenny, thanks for giving us your insight. Thanks for letting us hear from the independent beef producers.
Hey, thank you, Joel. Appreciate it.
Yep. Let's get to Brian on this issue. Brian, you're on News and Views.
Yeah, good morning, Joel. How are you today?
Doing well.
See, I guess I just wanted to call in as a beef producer here in North Dakota. I really appreciate the passion of a lot of your callers and the texts that you're getting as far as wanting to know where their beef is from. That being said, you know, I guess I'm against country of origin labeling for some, I guess, as Kenny said, maybe common sense, but my common sense may be a little different. Reality is that in North America, we produce some of the highest quality beef in the world in the United States, and we just simply produce more high-quality cuts, and in doing that, meaning your ribeyes and all your steaks and that type of thing. So we need those export markets for that meat to go to. And then our general consumer, we can't produce a lot of the lean trim that we need just with our cattle numbers that we have. So we necessarily need those imports to come in for the lean trim. And that's where it kind of comes into being a hard deal. And I just really think the consumer should drive this thing, and I think they will with time. Instead of having a government mandate saying that we need to, label our beef or require everybody to label the beef where it comes from, I think the consumer should just demand that. And in demanding that, it'll happen, I believe.
Yeah, but it hasn't. Unless you have the law in place, the packers aren't going to do it because of profit. That's what I'm hearing today.
And I guess I see that, but I think the reason why it hasn't happened is you come down to it, the general public consumers, and maybe a lot of the people that are calling in here are a little maybe the exception of that, because we want to know where our meat's coming from, and that makes me real proud as a producer because I think I produce a high-quality product. But I also owned a meat processing plant, and in that plant we had two different types of meat. We had locally ranch-raised beef that I raised and fed and everything else with my own private label on it, and then we also had other beef that we brought in a box and sold to the customer. Obviously, the ranch-raised stuff was at a premium compared to the box beef. And even my good friends would come in, and they only have so many dollars to spend. Their dollar dictates what they're going to spend. And a lot of times they would buy a product that could be commingled with, ground beef that would be Mexican, Canadian, and United States beef.
Okay. So you're all basing it on whatever the consumer says will do.
Well, that's what I think should drive the market instead of government mandates. I just believe we have too much government involvement, and I don't want the government telling my industry on any level what we should be doing. I think the consumer, if the consumer demands it and needs it, I think that the premium will be there, and I think everything will fall in step, I guess.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate your take. Let's get to Jason. Jason, you're on News and Views.
Hi, Joel. I just I got to weigh in on this cool issue. It's one of those simplistic answers to a very complex issue, and what it all boils down to is the last caller did a good job of explaining it in a nuts and bolts fashion. How much will it actually pay? If it's going to pay the producers, if it's going to be worthwhile, we'll do it. But it's ridiculous. A caller you had a little while ago said that we're selling our higher-end product overseas and selling the lower-end product here. Does he realize that the reason they're selling that overseas is because those consumers pay for it and it's actually putting more dollars in his pocket? If they would pay for it here, we'd sell it here. I get so frustrated when we have producers that hate the people that buy their cattle. They hate the feeders. They hate the packers. They call them every name in the book and insinuate that they're just, you know, raping the system and making huge profits. And yet groups like our calf that these people claim to support will jump in bed with HSUS and try to sue our checkoff system rather than support the whole industry that works together to sell more beef. We're in this together. It's an economic system. We need to put more dollars in the producer's pocket and offer the best, most wholesome, safest product we can. And that's what our system does now. And I'm pretty proud of the way our system works right now.
Okay. Thanks, Jason. Thanks for calling in. Let's get to David. David, you're on News and Views. Go ahead, David. You missed your chance, bud. Let's get to Russ. Russ, you were on News and Views.
Yeah, good morning, Joel. I've been listening here, and I'm sort of snickering about all these people saying how they would never eat any beef from Mexico. And there is a feed yard about 50 miles, I suppose, just south of the border from Mission, Texas, and they have turds down there. I took it about 4 years ago where you can drive through there yourself,
yeah.
And they have every color of animal under the rainbow, greens and blues and reds like I've never seen before. And you can pretty much figure they've got them from 500 pounds up to 1,200 pounds, and you pretty much know where they were born at.
So what's your point, Russ? What are you getting at?
I'm saying that they can bring Mexican cattle in and pass them off as American.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, they're fed here. You know, I don't know. They're, like I said, they started out 500-pounders, a lot of them I've seen, and they've been fed here.
Okay.
So I don't see the difference.
Okay. Thanks, Russ. I've got a mountain of email and some more text messages to get to. I'm going to get to all of them. Message comes in to me and says, give people a choice where their beef comes from back to mad cow disease in Canada. Give our calf credit for helping to get the border closed. That message wanted to get out there. All right, hold on a second. You know, there's a lot of windows open to this now, AI. There's a lot of clicking around. I want to get to Gabe. Gabe, you are on News and Views. Go ahead, Gabe.
Joel, earlier on when you had Mike on, there were some accusations thrown about, and any credible accusation of fraud as to how the checkoff dollars are being spent needs to be accompanied by proof. When you asked Mike why RCAF is not suing over this accusation of fraudulent usage of these checkoff dollars, Mike's reply pretty well summed it up. I mean, they have no case. Numerous independent audits have proven these claims to be false. Mike Eaton was the past president of IBAN. Now the current president, Kenny Grainer, comes on, and they're speaking two different, and they're telling two different tales here. So who are we supposed to believe?
Well, and that's why, Gabe, I'm trying to let everybody have their piece.
And Joel, a point I'd like to make is that any consumer that wishes to purchase labeled U.S. beef at their grocery store had that opportunity and still has that opportunity without a government-mandated cool through the private brands that are labeled by private companies who have invested their own equity to bring this to the consumer.
But Gabe, hold on a second. I agree with you on that because that's what I've done all my life. But not everybody buys beef the way Joel and Sue Heitkamp have bought beef in their life. Right? I mean, not everybody can call Tim Stiles and say who's butchering or call Teddy Mauk or Steve Maddock and say, okay, you know, I'm looking for a quarter of beef. Who's out there? You know, people don't buy quarters of beef or half beef anymore.
They don't have to, Joel. What I'm saying is at your local Hornbachers, at your local marketplace, if you go to the beef retail counter, you can find a branded beef product that shows a U.S. label if that consumer wants to spend her dollars or his dollars to buy a U.S. branded program without the government forcing it on.
What's the premium on that, Gabe? Do you know?
Exactly. That's the point, Joel. There has to be a premium to that cost.
Right. And so to me, it's worth it. What I'm asking is, do you know the difference?
No, I can't give you an exact.
I wasn't looking for an exact. I was just looking for a generic, you know, a general.
But that comes back to the point that there is a cost related to cool. And if someone is going to say cool is a common sense marketing tool for beef producers, the only way it becomes a common sense marketing tool is if it returns a profit over its cost back to that producer.
Agreed. Totally agreed. I want to get to Sean and find out what's going on in our ag markets out there. Sean Olson.
We have March corn.